That's much better. I wouldn't want to start my message this morning without having a realization of how much the Lord Jesus has lifted us. Now, shall we turn our Bibles, please, to again the book of Romans, chapter 15. And before we commence to read Romans chapter 15, we're going to read from verse 14 this morning. Shall we just momentarily take a moment to lift our hearts to the Lord for His blessing upon the Word. Oh God, our Father, this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus, breathe upon us today. We need Thee, Lord. We thank Thee that Thy Word has said, My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank Thee, though, for the provision that Thou hast made for us in Christ. We thank Thee that there is not one thing that we, the children of God, need this morning, but what the provision of Thy grace has made possible. Whether we're troubled, we thank Thee that Thou hast provided a lifting of our souls. Whether we're disappointed, we thank Thee that we can be encouraged in the Lord. And so, Lord, we just look to Thee that Thou be pleased to bless Thy Word to every heart here for this morning. Thou dost look upon these faces, and Lord, You know the need, and we commit each one to Thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Romans chapter 15, verse 14, And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through the mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. We noticed how last week, as we were particularly, we finished off in verse 13, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Just let me mention something in passing before we go into our text this morning. I'd like you to notice how that God has here called, He's called the God of hope. But I want you to particularly notice some words that are so important to us in this time, and at this particular sphere of life. Notice, He's the God of hope. I want you to notice the word hope. I want you to notice the word joy. I want you to notice with me peace. These are three words that seem to be almost infinite in their meaning, hope. We've looked at that to some large degree last Sunday morning. But you notice, just think for a moment with me, hope, joy, peace. Not one of these things can be bought. Not one. There isn't anything that you can do to really inherit any of these things. Hope, joy, peace. And you know, beloved people, this morning, how much time we often spend in so many things that are really, really don't really count in the fullest content of the word. Isn't it? Just think of this. Hope. Joy. Peace. And so much of our life is wrapped up in things that really, really we give such priority to. And we miss these three things that are so vital to our real welfare. Real hope comes from Christ. Real joy comes from Him. Real peace comes from Him. And yet how many times we neglect really entering into what God has for us in Christ, in His Word. And we neglect this often to the detriment of our spiritual growth and our welfare. And so I just wanted to just drop that in your lap this morning for some thinking. As we look into the portion of this morning now, I want you to notice the Apostle Paul's courtesy. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be courteous. I sometimes think we men fail in this area with our wives. Courtesy. Courtesy. What does that mean? What does it mean to be courteous? It means to be thinking of someone else's interest, not mine. It means to be, I'm looking at you and I'm saying, look, I want to do something for your welfare. You see, the people we come in contact with, the closest we are in contact with, are the people sometimes we're the less courteous with. Isn't that right? And I think that here's the Apostle Paul. He said, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness and filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. And see, as he prayed in the 13th chapter, 13th verse, that they might be filled with all joy and peace and hope, now he has another thought for us to be looking at. And again, there are three words, and we'll look at them very quickly this morning as well. He now proceeds to have them be aware that the saints of Rome, he says, they were filled. Notice, he said that ye also are full of goodness and knowledge, full of goodness. You see, we find that this church at Rome, there were certain qualities that were characteristics of them that was valuable. And one of the things that was characteristic of them was the fact that they had learned to know what real goodness was. And since Paul said of concerning a man in the New Testament, I want to ask, if I were in a class this morning, I'd be asking a question. Who do you think stands out in the New Testament as a man of goodness? And I suppose there might be a numerous numbers of answers, but God has registered about this man a registration on his life that will never be removed for all eternity. And it said of Barnabas, he was a good man. He was a good man. My, what what God takes and just uses a word to depict the whole character of people. Isn't it marvelous the way God does this? And so it seems somehow as you look at Barnabas' life, you see a man that stands out in his character, and it says he was a good man. And he said also, notice it says they were filled with all knowledge, the church at Rome as well. I don't think here it has to do with intellectual attainment so much. I think the thought here is spiritual perception. Spiritual perception rather than intellectual attainment. You see, I believe this is also the real result of goodness. A man who is a good man, a woman who is a good woman, I believe we'll find this really invariably produces Christian insight. I believe that with all my heart. And you see, it's very interesting. The people that I have seen that have the most spiritual insight is rarely, and I want you to listen carefully now, they are rarely, and I'm not trying to depreciate education when I say this, they are rarely highly educated people. For you see, this isn't found in a textbook at school. This is found at the feet of the Master, the Lord Jesus. Oh, to learn this lesson, beloved, this morning. This lesson, I believe, I think this can be seen in the truest and the humblest and the uneducated. The unlettered people can really have the most profound experiences with God. And I was saying to one of my brethren this morning, sometimes, you know, when we just act in faith, when we really don't feel like it, when we feel really, if you want to use a term that we all understand, we really feel some days blah. I want to say this morning. Look, and when I'm exercising and I want to say, Lord, I don't feel good, but I believe your word tells me that your word says, I am now in nothing. I am going to be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I'm going to make my request known unto thee. And the God of peace, your word has said, shall keep my heart and mind in Christ. Your word says it. And when I do that, you know, I believe that's what God is bringing us to a place in our lives. To see, to walk by faith is to believe what God says in His word, moment by moment and day by day. And so this is what I believe he's saying here. You see as well, notice it says, able to admonish one another. And I believe this is the combination of goodness and knowledge. The secret power that a person might have toward others. You see, I believe the two should go together. In fact, I don't believe any one of them stand alone. And you see, either one is able to stand alone. For the ability to admonish is really giving the proper God-given guidance and correction often to people. Able to admonish. That's the thought. Admonishing isn't something that you're criticizing the person for. But rather, you're carefully taking that person aside and quietly talking to them to give them real spiritual guidance and correction. And this was characteristic of this church. But I want you to notice the apostles, not only his courage or courtesy, but notice his courage in verse 15. And he says, nevertheless, brethren, I've written this the more boldly unto you the some sort, as having put you in mind, because, notice, because of the grace that is given me of God. Isn't it interesting that here he said, I have written unto you boldly of some sort, putting you in mind. And he wants to, he isn't talking about the length of the epistle here now. It was the grace of God given him in everything. Oh, somehow or other, the older I get, the more I'm absolutely amazed at that word, that term, the grace of God. You see, this morning, if there should be someone here not saved, you're only going to be saved because of the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. You'll never be saved outside of the grace of God. There's no hope. There's no hope for any outside the grace of God. For this is exactly the unmerited, unqualified mercy and grace of God is why I'm addressing you this morning. You see, it's this grace that we're going to look at in a little moment or two that really keeps us day by day. I want you to notice I'll develop this, the grace of God given to me of God in a moment or two, because I want to come to another verse. Verse 16, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ, ministering the gospel of God that might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So here's the apostle's claim. We have the apostle's courtesy in verse 15. Verse 14, we have the apostle's courage now in verse 15, and now we come, here's his claim, that I am a servant of Jesus Christ. You see, here the believer presents himself. How does the believer, in Romans chapter 12, the Lord, you should have said to the Lord, Lord, I'm here. My body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's presenting myself to God. But here, it's a little different picture. It's a complete different picture. Here, the believer puts himself as a living sacrifice in Romans 12:1. But here, notice, I want you to notice particularly the phrase, ministering the grace of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable unto him. You know, I wonder how many of us this morning are going to would be able to take someone I've led to Christ, someone I've had the joy of really leading them to Christ, and I say, there they are. Lord, they're an offering for you. Just think of us having the privilege of really endeavoring to win and woo sinners to Christ. And then no longer they're his. But I've had the privilege and the joy, and they're an offering now. Lord, they're yours. They're yours. And they're all of your grace. That's his thought here. The offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Isn't it interesting as we look at this portion of the scripture, then I want you to very quickly just run down those three verses again with me. The source of ministry of every one of us, whatever ministry you may have, it's the grace of God that's given to me. I stand this just for a moment. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to look something, Paul. I think this, I said I wanted to look at this matter of the grace of God this morning for a moment or two. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want you to notice with me, please. The Apostle Paul is saying, he's relating in 1 Corinthians 15 his resurrection, or the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, if you wish. Verse 7 says, after that, the Lord Jesus was seen of James, and then he was seen of all the apostles, And last of all, he was seen of me also one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am meet, not meet to be called an apostle. And the reason was because he had persecuted the church of God. But I want you to come to verse 10. And this is a verse I want you to notice with me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh, we look. Let me just pause for a second here at that verse for just a moment. Let me say this. You know, we often look at other believers and we say, oh, we can see. You know, just let me digress off to this for a second. You know, often we, the children of God, are the only people that shoot holes in our soldiers. Are you with me? If you're a real soldier of Jesus Christ, and I hope you are, in the very moment that you begin to shoot holes in that person, you're shooting holes in one of God's children, in one of God's soldiers. And if you're in the army, if you were in the army or in the navy or the air force, and you did that, and what would happen in the warfare, don't you? Don't you? Oh, the terrible, terrible danger. You see, the Apostle Paul had learned by the grace of God. The only reason that you're any more spiritual, and if you think you are more spiritual than somebody else, then the Lord help you, because that makes you not spiritual. But the only reason this morning that I am what I am is by the grace of God. No other reason. Paul had learned this lesson, for he said, by the grace of God that I am what I am. And notice, verse the next, and his grace, which was bestowed upon him, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than ye all, yet wasn't I that labored. But the grace of God which was given me. I love that verse. All of us children of God should look at that verse every day. Look at that verse to realize that you are nothing more than what God by His grace has made you. You see, that's the source. So many times the source of our ministry dries up because we do not realize the power of the grace of God in your life. And the only reason that we function is because of His grace. Now notice with me again, looking back to Romans 15, I want you to notice the purpose of this ministry. The purpose of this ministry was that I should be a servant of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, the first phrase. This was the purpose. This was the whole purpose of his ministry. I want you to notice the sphere that was unto the Gentiles, the offering up. His ministering was of the gospel of God, the offering up of the Gentiles. This was the special place God had given to him. He was a debtor both to Jew and to the Gentiles, to the barbarian and to the educated, to the Greek. And as much as in me is, he said, I preach the gospel of God. And so this is what he stated in chapter 1. But I want you to notice the work of that ministry was ministering the gospel of God. This was his work. And this is the work of every child of God. This isn't the work of just the Apostle Paul or a preacher who might minister as I am this morning. But this is the ministry of every child of God. But I want you to notice as well the end of that ministry. You know, this reminds me of one day when it comes to the matter of the Lord is going to reward us at the judgment seat of Christ for everything that we have done in the body for His glory. And some, more than others, are going to be given crowns. Some are going to be earned the soul winner's crown, people who are really devoted to winning souls for Christ. And we're going to lay them at his feet. This is the end of our service. And we're going to lay them at his feet and said, there they are, Lord. They're yours. For I didn't have one very, very little effort on my physical part. And none on my, because I only function because of the grace of God. They're all yours for your glory. You see, that's what the Apostle Paul was looking at here. But the crown of that ministry, I want you to notice a little phrase, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. That's the crown. Lives that are consecrated to God. Yes, lies are thinking of others, not themselves, because it's the power of the whole. That's the guarantee, the Holy Spirit here in its ministry. So we see, as we look at these three verses in particular, the next minute or two I want you to notice with me, Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. And it begins really as well, not only in verses 14 through to 16, I want you to notice verse 17 says these words. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. You see, the wonderful part of it is that it was done for the glory of God. Verse 17. That whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. Oh, as we look at the Apostle Paul's life this morning, beloved saints of God, his life was lived for the glory of God. In other words, he wasn't prepared to glory at all. Just turn with me, please, to the last chapter of Galatians. The little book of Galatians chapter 6. Shall we look at this portion of the scripture this morning? Verse 14 of Galatians chapter 6. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This is what he's saying in Romans 15. I have therefore, of I may glory only through Jesus Christ. Ah, this removes the pride, doesn't it? This is what supersedes all of the pride and the selfishness and the self-centeredness of we the people of God. To see that my life is going to one day count for God. And it's going to determine as to really how you really live. And I've lived. Has it been for the glory of God? But you see, it's the gospel that's brought me into all this. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ brought me into all His goodness. It was done in this case to the glory of God. But I want you to notice as well, and that's 14th again of Romans. Let's look at verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed. Now notice, how, in word and deed, through the mighty signs as an apostle, yes, and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all around about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And the reason he was able to do that was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, to learn. Oh, for us to learn this lesson as believers in Christ. That the power of the Christian life is only through the power of the Holy Spirit. The very moment I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that very moment the Holy Spirit entered me. And now I have a united contact with God by His Spirit. I am now united to Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit of God. And now I have a new life, and that life is His life in me and through me. And so now I live and I walk by the power of the Spirit of God. But I want you to notice as well this morning, in verse 20, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel. And in his case, the Apostle Paul, this is very specifically, relates to him himself. Not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having great desire that these many years to come unto you, whithersoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I somewhat be filled with your company. And here he is just making, to briefly state what he is saying, Paul was wanting to go to Rome, and he ultimately did. He wanted to go to Rome as a preacher of the gospel. That was his hungering desire. You know how he went to Rome? A prisoner of Rome. A prisoner of Nero. He wanted to go to Rome as a preacher of the Word of God. But when he got to Rome, he was there under, as Acts chapter 28 tells us, he was there, he was being taken there as a prisoner. First a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Oh, he had much desire. Paul, I'm sure his desire was to be in Rome and to spread the gospel. But God had other plans. And you see, I suppose he could have sat in that prison in Rome and said, Lord, I don't know why you did this to me. I wanted to come here to preach the gospel. And you know, he could have been down in the mouth. He could have been discouraged. He could have been despondent. There could have been anything, numerous things of the Apostle Paul under these conditions. But no. No, he accepted what the circumstance that God had brought him into. He accepted the circumstance that God had brought him into. And when he did, God then took, and the very men that he was chained to heard him not just say the gospel to them once, but they had to live with this man, chained to him. And we find in the book of Philippians that numerous numbers in the household of Nero in Rome were won to Christ. Oh yes, God has a plan. Beloved child of God, this morning God has a plan for your life. Providing you will allow Him to work in that life of yours. Providing you will accept the circumstances that you're in and accept them as the hand of God. Morning. But God can't work against your will. If you're going to kick against the pricks, if you're going to kick against His will, you see, God can't work. So, let me just suggest something in closing about this portion of the Scripture. We haven't any knowledge at all of Peter ever being in Rome. Never. Not one semblance of knowledge. In fact, both historians and the Scriptures indicate clearly that he never was. in Rome. And yet there's been a whole body of whole organization built on that supposition. Just think of that. Just want you to think of that for me, for a moment. A whole organization built on the supposition that Peter was the first pope of Rome. And there isn't one vestige of positive information scripturally or historically to prove it. Let me say something to you this morning. Be very careful that we don't make suppositions about certain things, about people or circumstances, because it's deadly. It's deadly. And you see, it was according to God's plan. He intended to, we don't know, history says that it's possible that Paul went to Spain, it's possible that he went to Great Britain, but it's only just historical fact, and it's not documented definitely. And so we discount it as a likelihood. We have no question he was in Rome. There's no question, because we find in other portions of the scripture this is clear. He died from 2 Timothy. The whole epistle was written from a Roman prison, and he was soon, I am soon to be offered. The time of my departure is soon at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Therefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. That's what he says in the latter part of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh yes, Paul was in Rome, but not in the way he had thought he was going to be. He was in Rome as a prisoner, but really not a prisoner of Nero, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I love that phrase. Oh, I wish my life was more a prisoner of Christ in that sense. That my life was under his absolute control. That I could really accept every circumstance as from the hand of God. But I know when I don't, I'm in real trouble. Oh, to learn to yield to the Master. Oh, to learn to yield to his Lordship. You know, that's what he's wanting in the lives of every true believer this morning, every one of us. May God bless this portion of his word for his name's sake, shall we pray. Father, bless these thy people this morning, and any who may be here out of Christ. Oh, what the gospel of God has brought us into. We thank thee that thy word talks of the gospel as being the gospel of God, as the source of all our blessing. We thank thee that thy word talks about the gospel of Christ, for he is the one who brought the gospel of God to us, as he went to the cross and there died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us back to thee. And now because of this, we're sitting here this morning, we're entering into all the blessings. Oh, we thank thee that the Holy Spirit himself is the one who gives the power to each of us to live the Christian life. Oh, God, help us to live ungrieved. Lord, this is a deep concern, or should be, of each of us. Oh, to have an ungrieved spirit, ungrieved Holy Spirit within us, that we might know something of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, day by day. Lord, we thank thee for this, thy portion of the Word of God. We ask thee that thou bless thy people with thy word this morning, in his precious and holy name. Amen.